This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Tiger's daughter lost a soccer tournament on Saturday, so Tiger did what anyone would do with their own private plane. He said, why don't you come to the Masters?
Oh, yeah, she didn't fly commercial?
I do that sometimes. And I'll say, listen, could you fly in and get Abigail and bring her out to me? Yeah, okay.
Tiger Woods, the 2019 Masters champion.
It was about a guy who was broken down, who went from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows, climbing back up that mountain and getting it done again.
Unbelievable.
Amazing story.
Yep. And his girlfriend was wearing a cold shoulder top, which is one of Dave Emmett's
favorites. Thought about that when I saw that, Dave.
I thought those were out of style now.
Well,
she
not for Dave.
It, and Dave Emmett loves them.
That's never out of style.
She always wears that hat, too, doesn't she?
I just caught Dave on coldshoulder.com again.
You did not.
It's 7:10 in the morning, and one of my great friends of the last, I don't know, 30 years, and we only see each other in business circumstances, Peter Greenberg. How are you?
I am fine, sir.
Nice to see you. Welcome, and thanks for coming in right off your red eye.
That's how I roll.
Peter Greenberg, the travel guru, petergreenberg.com, has another Royal Tour special coming up. Debuting when?
Monday on WTTW.
And the Prime Minister of Poland, Prime Minister Morawiecki, will be in town later today for a number of meetings and a couple of his speaking engagements. What was your experience with him?
Well, you know, I grew up watching Poland on black and white TV.
Mm-hmm.
And then even when I had color TV, Poland was still in black and white.
Right.
Because it was bleak and it was really depressing and they were occupied and it was a Soviet bloc country. So for me, when I first went back to Poland after Solidarity, it was a radical transformation. I was not prepared for what I saw about a country that has literally rebuilt itself. And so that's what we're going to see on the show.
So, and the story of Morawiecki is very interesting because this is a guy who was a banking guru, had all the money that he and every heir would ever need, but he had rebel in his blood and someone who wanted to fight for his country.
Well, when he was a young kid, he was one of the first fighters for Solidarity. When he was 11, he was on the mimeograph machine doing leaflets. He was beaten. He was tortured. He was imprisoned. His father was not only in prison, he was literally thrown out of the country and was in exile. So they were really a part of that movement with Lech Walesa, and you know, and now they're in government.
Amazing part of this show that you do is the access that you get. How long does it take, depending on the government, for you to pull that off? How many times do you have to ask?
There's never a government that wants you to do this show.
Mm-hmm.
The gatekeepers basically try to ban you from the border.
Sure.
So you have to develop a relationship with a leader directly. And once they get it, they get it. And the reason why they get it has nothing to do with my sparkling personality. It has to do with the fact that travel is basically one of the largest industries in the world. It's 11% of the GDP. It's one out of every 10 jobs. It's one out of every 5 new jobs. They run the numbers. He was a banker. Travel and tourism is important to countries like Poland.
What are we going to see in the show? What's he most proud of?
Well, the radical transformation of the cities, the culture, how they preserved it. You know, Poland, if you go back, you know, it has a 1,000-year history. We forget this. It was a kingdom. They have more, I mean, other than Wales, I think they have more castles than any country you'll ever find.
And the greatest castle in the world, I'm told.
Oh, yeah, and we show that castle in the show. But what's interesting is, what do you have when you have castles? You have moats.
Right.
What do you have when you have moats? You have sieges. You have invasions.
Sure.
You have occupations. I mean, everybody short of you and me invaded Poland.
This is a real Game of Thrones.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
And yet now, for the first time in our recent memory, they're independent.
I keep hearing the words, and it's hard to wrap your mind around these, preserve and modernize.
Yeah.
Is there a way to mix those two in Warsaw and other places?
Yeah, there is. You don't mess with the architecture. You don't mess with the history. You can play with the technology.
Okay.
And you can play with the nightlife. And you
okay.
can play, and you can play with the food. We're going way beyond pierogies and kielbasa, folks. I mean, we're talking a restaurant scene there that is world class now.
So you can actually encourage people to come in with all the modern comforts where they can still see all the old stuff, too.
Exactly. Wonderfully said, Steve.
The show, again, premieres when?
Monday the 22nd on WTTW and then around the country as well.
I was thinking about you the other day as well when Assange was taken in because you, on one of these tours, brought in the president of Ecuador.
I did, who gave him asylum in the embassy in London.
Right, and he has since left office.
Yes.
Have you stayed in contact with him?
I have. His wife is Belgian, and he's actually back in Belgium right now.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. He's a professor.
Do you know if he has any change of heart about Assange, or is it just something that's not discussed?
He has no change of heart about the United States and about the relationship with WikiLeaks and what they said about him. The reason why he granted Assange asylum was because of all the intercepted cables from the U.S. ambassadors in Quito talking about him.
Right.
And he said, he called the ambassador into his office and said, "Did you write that about me?" And she says, "I really can't discuss this." "Well, I can." And he throws her out of the country.
Yeah, bye-bye.
And then, you know, he had the best line of all. He said, you know, America wanted to stage a lot of military operations in Ecuador. He said, "I'll tell you what, you can have a military base here if I can have one in Miami."
There you go. Why not?
And that ended that discussion.
Prime Minister Morawiecki is very impressive in and of itself. But you've done how many of these now?
This will be the ninth.
Who knocked you out? Who did you go? I had no idea how impressive this individual was.
Well, they all knock you out because what this show does at a certain point, it's inevitable. It humanizes the country, but it humanizes the leader. Think about two guys on a road trip, or for lack of a better word, Thelma and Louise with a happier ending.
Well, that's the thing. It's like a buddy film that lasts several days.
Yeah, and 6 days.
Yeah, and it's amazing that you are able to be with their most powerful individual in that country for that amount of time.
It is. And you know, you don't think about it at the time, then you come home and you go, "What did I just do?"
Right. Yeah, right.
What was that? Yeah. But you know what's interesting? They get into it. And, you know, initially when they show up to do the show, they think it's like a campaign stop.
Sure.
Okay, we'll do the shot here, shake a hand, kiss a baby, see you.
Right.
And you have to say, "Excuse me, Mr. Prime Minister, but we didn't quite get that shot. We need to do that again."
Well, give yourself credit. You're a great interviewer, too, and that makes a difference because you can break down those walls that come up immediately.
Well, by the second day of shooting, they want to direct. They do.
Sandberg.
When you're with them, you know, I know you don't have a big entourage, but the Prime Minister of Poland has people. And so they're along for the ride the whole time. Are you able to keep them at bay, or they try to intervene?
We have a rule. Obviously, we can't dictate their security, but we can say who can be in the shot and who can't. And after a while, everybody rolls into it, and it works. I remember the last day we were shooting the President of Mexico in Mexico City, right by the pyramids, and I said, "You know, Mr. President, it's our last day of shooting. We'd love to get a photograph of everybody, you know, like a crew photo. Can we do that?" And he said, "Sure." I said, "Can we get the Secret Service in too?" And it was, no. And President, "Yes, everybody from the Secret Service."
"Oh, that's great."
"Wait." And all of a sudden, I see manhole covers open up and trees start to move. I mean, they've been there all the time. We just had no idea.
Well, you think about the security that the President of Mexico needs.
Yeah. Oh, no. He traveled at least 300 Army troops in addition to the security.
How about that?
Yeah.
And, you know, I know they're trying to get tourism to Poland, but, you know, Chicago has such a large Polish population.
I did not know that.
We have more Poles than Poland.
You have the largest population of Poles outside of Warsaw.
Yeah.
So what does it mean to have, like, the Prime Minister come here?
Well, I'm about to find out. He's landing today about 1 o'clock, coming in from Brussels. We're going to have a screening tonight at the Lyric for him.
Right.
I'm a little worried because everybody's going to pile on him.
Right.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Do you speak any Polish?
I do not. My Polish pronunciation, as I might suspect yours, Mr. Cochran, is not good.
It's not great. And I will tell you, we had this wonderful cleaning lady at Tribune of Polish descent, and she tried to teach me Polish, and she just gave up. She said, "You're hopeless." She said it in Polish, though, so it was nice.
I think because you only do that British accent, yeah, for all,
yeah,
accents.
Yeah, so. The Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah,
exactly. More with Peter Greenberg coming up, including a little backstory here that most all of you didn't know, and I barely knew, that you are a fireman.
Still an active fireman back in New York, yes.
Which is amazing, and you still serve active duty.
Ever since I'm 18, yeah. 3 days a week, 7 months a year.
And that's the only time you're home.
Yeah.
At 7:19, that's coming up. MVPP as well, as Peter Greenberg's nice enough to be here. Can we get the archived version of the other specials?
Yes, you can. You can go online, go to petergreenberg.com. Also, WTTW has them all.
So, which is great.
On their website, you can find them.
All right, and we have to ask you some general travel questions before the hour's complete, too.
I knew that was coming.
That was coming.
Okay,
yeah.
Fine.
If you want to text those in, don't, because our texter's broken. Our magic texting machine.
So they're going to have to call.
Yeah, we'll take some phone calls. Not yet. In a little while, 312-981-7200.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Peter Greenberg's here, petergreenberg.com. I've never asked you this. Do you ever watch TV?
I watch TV all the time.
How do you do that?
Well, have you heard of DVR?
Yeah, but when do you have time?
On airplanes.
Oh, you catch up.
You bet.
And thought about that. Well, okay, so what are you watching?
You're going to laugh at me. I actually love Blue Bloods.
No, I don't
I've watched
you.
That show.
I get it. It's
watched
a good show.
But I also love Bill Maher. I love John Oliver. You know, those are the shows that crack me up when I need to be cracked up.
You know what I was thinking about, because you and I are about the same age, is the show The Americans,
yeah,
which is about a husband-wife spy team, which had six great seasons as a run. And this nice couple in suburban D.C.
Right.
who were trying to take down the American government. But I was thinking about you, because you've traveled the world over, and I was thinking, you know what?
I got the best cover you've ever met.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know. Peter could be working for anybody.
You know what? People said that about me for years. No, but when you think about it, somebody who's a travel journalist
right.
has access to every country, and what a great idea for a concept for a television show that while I'm looking at the ballroom, someone's handing me the microfilm.
Right.
Ooh.
Right, right. Never saw that coming.
No, not okay. true. Not true.
More with Peter in a second.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I'm a traveling man, made a lot of stops.
The great Peter Greenberg's here, petergreenberg.com. You have a question on travel, anywhere, about anything, 312-981-7200, unless you're asking for money. Peter can't pay for your trip. I mean, come on, get serious. The royal tours continue, this time with the Prime Minister of Poland. And Prime Minister Morawiecki will be in Chicago today.
Correct.
And has several stops scheduled before the premiere of the Royal Tour tonight at the Lyric. Correct. Sold out?
Oh, yeah. It's invitation only. Just a small Polish community to draw from, I guess.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Not hard to fill those seats.
No, sir.
All right, let me switch gears here for a second.
Yeah.
You are a fireman where?
On Long Island, in Fire Island in New York. I've been a fireman since I'm 18.
And what brought you to do the fascination with it?
Well, people don't realize that 74% of all firefighters in America are volunteer.
Yeah.
That's really community-based everything. And so when I was growing up, all the kids who were like 2 or 3 years older than me volunteered when they could at 18. So when it was my turn, I said, absolutely, I'll do it. And I've done it ever since.
There's a great New York, Chicago, big city tradition of my grandfather was, my father was, so therefore I am.
Yeah.
But you didn't have a fireman in the family?
No, not at all. It was just something I just thought I should do.
All right, so talk to me about what you know about what happened yesterday at Notre Dame.
Well, in any fire like this, and any fireman listening will agree with this, there's not a fire department in the world that can effectively fight a fire above the 8th floor, just simply because of the technology and the physics of it. So there are ways to mitigate the problem. And the ways to mitigate the problem is you have to have very strong fire codes, and they have to be retroactive. And what was missing in that building, I guarantee you, as it's missing in so many historic buildings, and not to mention older buildings even here in Chicago, just because people get grandfathered in, is effective sprinklering. It's not just materials, it's the sprinklering. And so when you saw that terrible fire in London, in the Grenfell Towers,
sure.
You know, they talked about the cladding on the outside of the building. Was that a contributing cause? You bet. The real reason was no sprinklers in the public rooms, no sprinklers in the private areas. So anybody above the 6th floor had no chance whatsoever. In this situation, you had the driest, most flammable kindling in the world, which is this building.
Yeah, the 5,000 trees fashioned into that roof.
Sure.
That's a lot of wood.
A lot of old wood. And old wood is combustible. And obviously, there may be some technical and physical reasons why you couldn't get the sprinklers in the way you needed to. But remember, Notre Dame is a building that has historically always been undergoing renovation. There would have been ways to do it, but the fire codes didn't require it. It'll be interesting to see now how they rebuild, maintaining the architectural texture, but at the same time incorporating what has to be in there now.
No, it's got to be state-of-the-art.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were saying off the air to us about with the lack of sprinklers, putting water on that hot fire, it just turns to steam.
Well, it's burning at such a high intensity. It's like a tire fire. You know, it's not easy to put out, and in many cases, you have to let it burn itself out. But here's the problem. In many cities in this country, the fire codes, while they're good now, there's a loophole. And the loophole is, unless there's a change of ownership, you're not required to retroactively redo your...
It's ridiculous.
So you have resort hotels in Lake Tahoe, for example, that have been owned by the same family for 60 or 70 years, just handed down to different family members.
And they're not up to code.
They are fire traps. It's bad.
Yeah, I mean, that's beyond frightening. And obviously, we have a great number of buildings here that have been in family hands forever.
Although Chicago fire codes are great. I mean, they have
as good as anywhere.
Absolutely. But you have to go around those loopholes.
All right. So of what you saw yesterday and what we know of the fire yesterday, does it make sense? It could have been a construction thing?
Oh, very much so.
Is that because of the materials used?
It's not just materials. Somebody could have left a machine on. Something could have just be left on with heat coming out that spontaneously combusted. It could have been electrical. Electrical is usually my call on these things, as opposed to something just being flammable. But we don't know yet. This is not a case of, in my case, you would know right away if this is arson, because you could see how many fires started at the same time simultaneously. Arsonists don't just set a fire in the corner.
Sure.
They set a fire in five corners, you know. So
the thing that struck me, though, is we've had 900 years of history there. And I'm sure the same goes on in Italy, where all the world's great churches are, and in England and other places. But when you have a living, breathing museum...
Right.
Somewhere along the line,
it just happened in Brazil.
Well, said that's it, right? We're what, 2,000 years of history gone?
Unbelievable. Well, listen, this is the wake up call. This is the wake up call for everybody who has that kind of heritage to start refocusing on what needs to be done.
Yeah, because when they're sitting in the meeting and they go, "Well, I don't think we need to do that. What if the sprinklers get anything wet?" You know, that type of a meeting. Somebody's got to go. We can't risk it.
Right. Exactly.
And you know, the Louvre is 5 minutes from Notre Dame. The Louvre is absolutely state-of-the-art.
It is. It is. Well, there's a way to do it.
And Peter said another thing to us, that when they attack a fire, when you go to a fire, you're trying to save the buildings around.
Well, when you get to a fire that's burning with that kind of intensity, what's coming from that fire can set more fires in the vicinity.
The embers?
The embers. They're literally incendiary. You actually watch roofs explode. So you have to be defensive. Unless there's a life at stake, you surround and drown and save everything around it.
President Trump doesn't know when not to talk, and unfortunately he tweeted out yesterday, we should water bomb it.
Yeah, that would have been a structural disaster.
Because water has weight.
Huge weight. When you see the DC-10 tankers coming over a forest fire, it's okay to drop that amount of volume of water because there's nothing that's endangered in terms of life or structure of collapse. But in this situation...
It would have flattened the building.
Like a... deck of cards. I mean, house of cards.
312-981-7200 for any travel questions. We have several for you as well.
I'm ready.
PeterGreenberg.com, anytime, all the time, literally for everything you need in regards to travel, and check out all of the Royal Tour shows through Channel 11 or at PeterGreenberg.com.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Peter Greenberg's here, PeterGreenberg.com. Most underrated place in the world to travel right now.
The most underrated place in the world to travel right now, probably Egypt.
Really?
Yeah, because people don't think they can go. They think it's not safe. I go all the time. I'm telling you right now, it's ready.
Cairo?
Cairo, Aswan, Luxor, Alexandria, one of the great cities in the world.
Price is still amazing because...
The U.S. dollar is really strong now.
Most overrated place to travel right now, outside of the United States.
Say Iceland.
Well, Iceland's been all over the top, but if this year, instead of Iceland, go to the Faroe Islands, because...
But that's a recommendation.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. I'm looking for the most overrated place you don't want us to go.
Well, remember, I'm the guy who did a book called Don't Go There.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm asking.
I know. The most overrated place right now, outside the U.S.?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's a tough one. I'd say Venice. Simply because if you're going to go to Venice, don't go now. Go in November or February. If you go during the summer, the Bridge of Sighs is the Bridge of Thighs.
312-981-7200 is the number. You have taught us many times on this program, if you're going to book a hotel, don't do it online.
Correct.
Talk to a human being.
Yep.
On the phone or in person?
Well, in person's okay, but... if you're traveling, you're probably not going to have that opportunity to get there. So on the phone is great. But when you call them, don't ask for reservations, because they'll reroute you back to an 800 number. They have no ability to negotiate anything.
Mm-hmm.
You need to talk to the manager on duty or the director of sales. They're the best arbiters of their inventory. And if the Schmidlap wedding canceled last night, we all know the Schmidlaps.
Sure.
That amount of inventory doesn't show up on their website or on their reservations line. But those guys at the hotel know it's an unsold room that's not going
to
be revenue.
And they have the latitude to make the deal.
You bet they do.
How about rental cars?
Rental cars is interesting. What's the best day to make a rental car reservation?
No idea.
Saturday.
Why?
Because that's the most number of no-shows. Right? People change their weekend plans. So you make a reservation for the smallest, most economical clown car they've got on the lot. right? And then when you show up, you're going to get upgraded because they have too many cars.
Right. What would you like?
Exactly.
Pick anything.
Exactly.
Back to the hotel. When you're calling, you ask for the sales manager, do you say...
No, you ask for the director of sales.
The director of sales. Do you say, I want a deal, or you just wait for them to offer you a deal?
No, you don't do that.
What okay.
You do,
well, I no. don't know.
You say, look, I'm coming to Chicago, and I'm there for 3 nights. I really want to stay at your hotel. You know, what can we work on so I can get a great deal? Because it's not about the rate. People forget about that. Everybody's driven by rate.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be driven by value. And this is what the internet doesn't help you with. The internet doesn't tell you whether your kids can stay free, they can eat free, whether they'll throw in the free Wi-Fi, whether they'll get rid of that draconian resort fee.
Yep.
They won't tell you about parking. Those are questions you can have a conversation with those people on the phone, those two people I just told you about. And then you got to do one more thing that my mother always told me to do, and I never thought she was right. And of course, the older you get, the more you realize that mothers are always right.
Absolutely.
Write your thank you letter. Once you get to that person, get their first and last
name. Handwrite it.
Handwrite it and say, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to meeting you when I come to Chicago. And then when you get there, or 2 days before you go, send them an email saying, hey, looking forward to seeing you, blah, blah, blah. When you get there, you are first in line for an upgrade without ever asking for one.
Because they never get thanked in that manner.
Right, and they remember you. People forget it. By the time you get to a gate at the airport, that person at that gate has been so beaten up, first by their own company and by their own airline,
sure,
before you even got there. Why would you walk up and the first words out of your mouth, can I have an upgrade?
Right.
The answer is going to be no, and you stand in line like the guys from Midnight Express circling. You know, for those of us who remember that
movie. Sure, of course.
No. Talk to them. Learn from them. Understand what common ground is all about. They've had a bad day before you got there.
Put yourself in their shoes.
Trust me. And then if you're really good, they're going to ask you the 5 magic questions. Ready?
Sure.
Let me see your ticket.
Okay.
That means you're going to get an upgrade.
Because they're trying to do the
they're being something. Nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
You were nice. And you didn't show up there one-dimensionally saying, I want, I need, I have to have. It's not the way to do it.
Think about their world. I got less than 60 seconds, which is unfair to ask you about Air Max, but is this plane going to fly again?
Oh, yeah. The plane's going to fly again. It's a very good plane. It just has a really bad flight management system. And the way that Boeing reacted was optics 101, don't do that. Number two, it exposed the relationship between the FAA and the manufacturers, which has to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a conflict of interest from day one. It's been going back 50 years. They're going to have to fix that. Now, you say, will it fly again? Yes. Will it fly again soon? No. Because the recertification process is going to be done by the book slower than Brexit, trust me. And it's going to have to be done that way.
And that means less inventory this summer. So if you're planning on flying, maybe book now.
The airlines have already canceled flights through August. They're going to cancel flights through November. This is not going to be changed fast. But guess what? There are other planes and other airports and other ways to do it. You have time. It's going to be okay.
Okay. Just don't wait till the last minute ever.
Exactly.
Peter Greenberg, the Royal Tour, Prime Minister Morawiecki and his new best friend, Peter Greenberg. Look for it at petergreenberg.com. And if you're going tonight, I hope you have a great time. Thank you, my friend.
You got it.